Christian was 18 years old and had just started college. Within 15 days, he had completely disappeared. His girlfriend and a college mate went to the police station to report the incident. Soon after, many things became clear, and the mystery of his disappearance brought about some unexpected developments. This is the story of Christian Aguilar. Christian Aguilar, son of Claudia and Carlos Aguilar, was born on November 16, 1993 in Miami, United States. He had a younger brother called Alex. Throughout his adolescence, Christian was quiet and shy, but friendly. It could take him time to open up to people, but when he did, he was funny, charming, and charismatic. At age 18, his excellent academic record earned him a scholarship to study biomedical engineering at the University of Florida in Gainesville. Classes were due to begin in mid-September 2012, and a few days before his course start date, he moved into the student residence. A friend from high school, Erica Freeman, 18 years old at the time, enrolled at Santa Fe College, also in Gainesville, to study biology. The two had started a relationship at their high school graduation, and it lasted through the summer holidays. Family and friends commented that Christian was happier than ever. For the couple, a change of city at the beginning of adulthood seemed to offer hope and opportunity for them both. On September 20th, 2012, Erica finished class and messaged Christian to arrange to meet. They saw each other most days. Christian always responded quickly to her texts, but on this occasion, he took a long time. In fact, he didn't respond at all. Erica thought he must still be with his friend Pedro Bravo, 20 years old. He was a school friend who had also gone to college in Gainesville. Erica returned to her apartment alone. Several hours passed, and despite many calls and messages being made, Christian did not reply to his girlfriend. She instinctively knew something was wrong and went to his student residence to try to find him. But his roommate said he had not returned from college that day. Erica went home a little worried, but all she could do was wait. She slept, and when she woke up in the middle of the night, around 4 a.m., she took the opportunity to check the messages on her cell phone. Nothing. No messages. No missed calls. She immediately called Pedro. He also didn't know where his friend was. He said he had left him near his house the previous night and had not spoken to him again. Erica decided to call Christian's father, who was more than 500 kilometers south of the state, to tell him that Christian had disappeared. Carlos and his wife Claudia, knowing their son, and knowing that he wouldn't stop talking to anyone, especially his girlfriend, felt that something had happened and bought the first ticket to Gainesville that morning. On the way, they called the university and left a message on the answering machine.
My name is Carlos Aguilar, and I'm the parent of Christian Aguilar. He's a student over at the university. His girlfriend has been trying to contact him since yesterday, and he's not answering. He normally responds to his girlfriend right away, and if he's so concerned about it, we are concerned right now. This is not his normal behavior, and I'm wondering if you guys can help us.
Just before 10 a.m. the following day, September 21st, Erica, her sister and Pedro went to the police station to report his disappearance and gave statements, mainly due to the fact that Pedro was the last person who saw him the previous afternoon. Erica explained that when they were in school, she and Pedro had been in a relationship which was not going well. She'd broken up with him before the summer holidays. The main reason for their difficulties was their higher education choices. She planned to go to Gainesville and he intended to stay in Miami. She did not believe that a long-distance relationship would work. Erica and Christian bonded during the summer, and when they chose to go to the same city for college, the couple appeared to be in a solid, lasting relationship. Pedro took the breakup from Erica quite badly, and as he did not have a well-balanced, mature mind, the couple kept their relationship a secret and waited for the best moment to tell him. At the last minute, Pedro showed up in Gainesville to study, having applied for an academic transfer. This was perhaps to be closer to Erica and to try to win her back, but it appears that he had learned some weeks before of his ex's new relationship with one of his best friends. When he asked her about it, she denied it. It wasn't a good time to tell the truth. In her statements, she confirmed that Pedro had contacted Christian to say that he needed some advice. Christian told Erica that he was suspicious that Pedro actually wanted to discuss the couple's new relationship, but as they were friends and they really cared about his psychological well-being, he agreed to meet Pedro in a public place. This was the last time she spoke to Christian. When Pedro was interrogated, police officer Randy Roberts let him talk freely, but Pedro's event narrative left the investigator with more questions than answers.
You need to understand that if something happened to Christian, our investigation is clearly going to show something happened, if it did, and yes. Who's responsible.
Yes.
Yeah. We need to be really clear about...
I understand.
Thing at 1 o'clock in the morning
because I understand.
You told me you were asleep.
Oh, I was asleep.
You woke up, you checked your phone, you went back to sleep, you woke up at 3 something in the morning, and you're like...
Well, I woke up at 3 something, but the phone calls at 4. I'm not really good at that.
You woke up at 3 something because the light and the power went off.
Yes. You know where that was by any chance?
No, I have to check. But the laptop was warm, and that was another thing you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I forgot all about once up in the morning, you got up and went to McDonald's in your car and bought something. Am I going to see your face at McDonald's on Arthur Road at 1 something in the morning?
Probably.
Probably?
Probably, actually.
Did you go through the drive-thru or did you go inside?
Drive-thru.
Okay. There's little places where you order your food, has a little camera.
Mm-hmm.
So, would you say definitely I'll see your face?
You will definitely see my face.
Okay, is anybody in the vehicle with you?
No, it was just me. Okay.
So why didn't you mention that before?
I was really drowsy. Like, it's not something I remember exactly. Because I remember the last time, it was a while back, last time something that happened to me. So I took some sleeping pills with my friends. Well, not with my friends, just by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to go do something, like it was in the middle of the day, we went to go do something, but I was really out of it. And after that, I remember my friend said that I ended up buying a pack of 5 paper plates and just giving it to a homeless man for no apparent reason. And I had no recollection of what was happening.
What kind of trouble have you been in the past? Have you ever been arrested? Have you ever been in any trouble?
No, I've never been arrested or any problem like that.
Why do you want to hurt yourself, Pedro? I mean, bottom line, what's the problem? I mean, I'm not a psychologist. I mean, just give me the Reader's Digest version, the short version.
I got out of high school. Well, I broke up with my girlfriend. That's one thing. That was Erica. Well, that's one thing. But I got over that slowly. But then all the other things started mounting up, like college. I had to get ready because when I was little, I had a complete different viewpoint of where I want to be in college. Like, I didn't want to go to, like, Santa Fe or the
U.S. Yeah, you want to go to community college. You want to go to the U.S.
I want to go to the Harvard or something like that. Something big when I was little. And I always had that aspiration. And then, like, every time I go here, like, it crushes me inside in a weird way. Because I always had, like, my aunts, my parents, they would always be like, oh, he's going to make it.
Yeah, and your friends going to UF, and of course, that's got to be something like that.
Yeah.
And your friends dating your ex-girlfriend.
I don't know, but I'm okay with that. Because I know he's a good guy.
You're okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Like, if it was a friend of mine that I knew, and I knew he's a complete tool, and I'm still friends with him for some reason, then I'd be a little bit angsty about this. I'd be a little bit like, why?
So he shows up. Did you
go? Well, first of all, no, it was just kind of like, hey, yeah. At that point, we're just right before, we're just talking about like how, but like why I want to commit suicide and like reasons not to and why.
What do you mean?
I'm just tired of everything.
Tired of everything? Tired of what? You haven't even experienced life yet.
Nah, that's his argument. It's his argument too. I know, but just. I don't know. I just feel very overwhelmed by everything.
Mm-hmm.
Going from college, moving from home, dealing with paying for classes, paying for food. And then my car broke, which was nice. And my bicycle broke, which was also nice. So, and then my radio was missing, which is great. Just fantastic. It just adds lots of tops to everything.
Yeah, it does. But, I mean, you were feeling like that before then, right?
Yeah. We were arguing a little bit, but not like arguing, like getting really angry and really violent at each other and like screaming and yelling, just kind of like going back and forth in rapid succession. And then he told me to stop the car. He wants to get out.
Okay, and what did you do?
I was angry at him too, so I stopped the car and I said, fine, get out.
Ask you some great questions, okay?
It's okay.
But I got to know. You know what happened to you, Kristen? Where he is since he left you.
All I know is I dropped him off and I drove away.
Have you heard from him, seen him since that time?
If I would, we wouldn't be here right now. I'd be out trying to find him and then hurting him for doing this.
After almost 30 minutes of interrogation, Pedro had contradicted himself several times. And the officer Roberts called his attention to these contradictions. As he attempted to clarify his story, Pedro admitted that Christian had actually been with him in his car, and that during a heated argument he physically attacked his friend.
That's one thing I have to tell you, because you're right, I can't keep everything from you, and I have to tell you one thing.
Okay.
Like, in the scuffle with Chris, it wasn't just really an argument. Like, he wasn't sitting right next to me in the car. He was in the car with me, but he wasn't sitting right next to me, like, in the passenger seat. Like, after he got off the homeless man, the hitchhiker, whatever, he got out also, and he got in the back seat and just pushed his seat up to put his feet up. And we were talking casually, like, normal, and we were still getting really heated and like, an argument and stuff like that. But then, at one point, I made the comment about his the girl that he has a crush on, and he got angry at that. But then he came back with, maybe you should just fucking kill yourself. And that's when I turned around and punched him straight in the face. And that's when I told, he got out, but I told him, get out of the car.
After they fought, Pedro demanded that his friend get out of the car. He said that Christian left and walked away, leaving him behind. However, minutes later, he gave a different explanation of events where he said he had left Christian unconscious on the side of the road.
I hit him in the face and I made him get out. And
but there's more to that. And I think that you need to be honest about it. You need to tell me what else happened, because something else happened besides just that. Okay? Something else happened. And you need to be honest with it, because if that's all that happened, he would have went somewhere, called the police to get his phone and to get his stuff.
Well,
we know that he's not coming back, okay? I know he's not coming back. I've been doing this for too long. I've been doing this for 30 years. I know when somebody's coming back, when they ain't coming back, he ain't coming back. You know he's not coming back. Now, you need to tell the truth. We can help you a little bit as far as if you can explain things. But just to find him in a couple of weeks and not be able to explain it, you got to tell the truth.
Well, I still be able to go home with my parents tonight if I.
I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that you can go home tonight. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, it's something that we got to work on. Okay, I'm going to read you this right up here. Okay, make sure that you understand. You have the right to remain silent. Anything that you say can or will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to talk to a lawyer and have him present when you are being questioned.
The investigators checked the security cameras at the Best Buy, where Pedro said he was with Christian that evening. This confirmed that, just as Pedro said, on September 20th, around 3 p.m., they had walked around the store, had a coffee and talked. Then they got into Pedro's car at 4:11 p.m. The car remained parked in the parking lot for around 1 hour and 40 minutes. It left at 5:51 p.m., and after that, the car disappeared from the city's cameras. The police were looking for the spot where Pedro said he had dropped his friend, but nothing was discovered. The next images, which caught the police's attention, were ones of Pedro at a car wash, cleaning his car at 2 in the morning.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem um senso de humor um tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de um lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui no Pátria Amada Criminal.
The police got a search warrant for Pedro's apartment, and what they found shocked them. Christian's backpack. Two other clues were found, a notebook from Pedro with notes and a receipt. The notebook was an expression of his mind and his thoughts. In a disorganized way, it was a type of diary, with endless pages of drawings, poems, quotes, song lyrics, love letters to Erica, and threats towards Christian. The receipt, dated days before Chris's disappearance, evidenced the purchase of various materials, including a shovel and duct tape. Viewing the camera footage in this store at the exact time the note was issued, they clearly saw Pedro paying for the materials and leaving with them. The shovel was found covered in dirt and hidden under a wooden walkway in the condominium where he was living. Sand was also found in his car. His phone's log report showed that he was in the Walmart parking lot where they parked the car to go to Zaxby's Chicken and Best Buy. At the moment he was seen on camera exiting, the device was put into airplane mode and stayed like that for about 5 hours, until about 11 at night. During this period, the device's flashlight was turned on and off 9 times, remaining on for a total of 48 minutes. The typical action of someone who is looking for something in the dark. Another suspicious and strange thing was a print screen of a search carried out by the iPhone system. The search was, "I need to hide my roommate," and the suggestions given by the system were swamps, reservoirs, metal foundries, dumps, and mines. On his computer, a record of Google searches dated 4 days before the disappearance included, "What is chloroform? Alcohol causes a person to faint. What types of murders are solved? And how do sleeping pills kill someone?" Although the police had not yet found Christian, they knew he was no longer alive. The investigation, which was a disappearance, was passed to the criminal department. Pedro was the main suspect in his Christian's disappearance and death. After 21 days following Christian's disappearance, on October 11th, with approximately 500 people searching, including Christian's own parents, local hunters found a body buried in a shallow grave in a swamp. Dental records confirmed that the body was that of Christian Aguilar. The earth around the body was the same as that on the shovel which Pedro had recently bought. A necropsy revealed that his wrists and ankles were bound with duct tape. Sleeping substances, substances to kill pests, rats and cockroaches were found in his body. The report also stated that the cause of death was asphyxia due to suffocation. Pedro was arrested on charges of murder. Almost 2 years later, in August 2014, Pedro Bravo's trial began, At the first hearing, he pleaded not guilty. But the evidence against him and the witnesses who appeared during the following days of the hearings were significant. A former cellmate named Michelangelo, arrested for participating in gangs involved in drug trafficking, brought to light some confidential information about Pedro.
Did he ever discuss with you whether or not he made a plan about killing Chris?
Yes, sir. I think originally he said that he was going to try to poison him with a mixture of sleeping pills and pesticide and mixed with soda or something, like, yeah, I guess soda. And his backup plan was to have a knife, you know, to cut his throat in case it didn't work. You know, after he had got back in the driver's seat and he was, you know, I guess riding around to dispose of the body, that it was making a sound like, and that's the reason that he held on to the driving strap while he was riding around, because it freaked him out.
Michael also explained that Pedro asked him for the loan of a pen to write a letter. Excerpts from the letter were read in court.
I am a monster for having hurt Chris the way I did, and monsters shouldn't exist in this world. Does that sound like the letter he read to you?
Yes, sir.
Pedro Bravo only had a single defense witness, himself.
And where did you want to go?
I wanted to go to Gainesville. I wanted to go because I wanted to get out of, stop going in the same place, stop having all these memories, all these feelings, trying to see if maybe a fresh start would help me to erase everything that's in my slate. And I also wanted to see, at the time, I wanted to see if I can get back with Erica Freeman. Christian was in Miami earlier, and I talked to him. I told him that I think I'm going to go to Gainesville around September, and I think I'm going to go try and find Erica again. And he told me, well, at least you should try it, I guess. If she was your love and you think you can do this, go ahead and do it. And then when I got to Gainesville, I told him, I'm in Gainesville now. He's like, weren't you going to be here in September? I'm like, oh, I just moved it up. I just couldn't take waiting so long. So I told Chris that I want to try and get back with Erica, and I told him that it just makes me feel terrible. She hasn't told me yes or no. I just wanted a definite answer of, like, yes, there might be a chance we can get together, or no, there's no possible way that we can get back together. About a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier, there was this whole drama about him going out with Erica, and then Erica said no, and then I was like, okay, at least that's not true. I asked him if he was going out with Erica at one point, which he said no at first, and then later on he said that yes, he was going out with Erica.
Did you believe him?
I believed him, yes. He's one of my friends for 4 years. If he told me tomorrow there would be no rain, I wouldn't carry an umbrella.
Tell the jury what your concern was and what you found out and what you decided to do.
He's one of my best friends, and now this is happening, and I find out the worst possible way for two of my friends. I told him that I wanted to talk. The discussion is getting very heated now. I'm arguing with him, and he's arguing with me. We're not necessarily yelling, but we're going back in rapid bursts. He's saying something quickly. I'm cutting him off, saying something else. He's saying something, and I'm going back, cutting him off, and he's cutting me off. I turn around, and I hit him in the nose with my left fist while I'm driving, yes. Christian's like in the back of the seat, back of the car, and he's not happy, obviously. He's mad at me, and now I just hit him in the face, in the nose, and everything, it's adding on to whatever happened to him.
Did he sustain any injury when you hit him in the nose?
His nose started bleeding, yes. The only thing I remember seeing was Christian on the ground and then me leaving.
What is Chris's condition when you leave?
From what I remember, I can't give an accurate statement because I'm not a doctor or anything like that, so I can't tell you if he was unconscious or he was knocked out. But all I could tell was that he didn't get up right away, but that he was still moving.
Still breathing?
Yes.
And moving?
Yes.
When you did this, did you have any malicious intent to kill Christian Aguilar?
No, it was all spur of the moment.
You have any ill will to inflict upon him any permanent injury?
No.
Was it just a fight between guys?
Yeah, it was just a fight between guys, and I wish it was less than that.
And you decided to leave?
Yes.
Come to regret that decision?
I feel like I'm going to regret that decision for the rest of my life.
Pedro tried to deny his cellmate's confession, saying that it was Michael who forced him to write that letter. But he couldn't explain what intention Michael could have had for doing this. He also said that the duct tape was being used to seal a crack in the car window, and the shovel was purchased with the intention of killing himself and digging his own grave. Pedro claimed that he tried to take his own life after the fight with Christian by drinking a mixture of painkillers and pesticides, but he quickly vomited, and that he interpreted this as a sign from God that it was not his time to go. The defense ended by arguing that although Pedro had a physical fight with Christian, and it was wrong to leave him on the street alone, he definitely did not kill him. But the evidence against him was overwhelming. DNA evidence, security camera footage, his behavior during his relationship with Erica, the content of his notebooks, the compatibility of the sand on the shovel and in the car, Christian's backpack in his house. The fact that he bought the shovel and duct tape clearly suggested that this was a premeditated crime. The jury took just 3 hours to deliberate. On charges of first-degree murder, poisoning, forced imprisonment, concealment of evidence, contributing false information to the investigation, and improper transportation of a lifeless body, Pedro Bravo was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison without the right to parole. During the trials, Pedro had tried to contact Erica and the Aguilar family. Because of this, he was also legally prohibited from trying to make any type of contact with Erica and members of her and Christian's families. Pedro, to this day, denies that he committed the crime. He confesses that he hurt Christian, but did not kill him. Christian's funeral was held in Miami and was open to the public. Erica gave a short speech. Chris was a good person, very loving and affectionate. I always feel like when I try to describe him, I never describe him enough. You needed to have met him.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem um senso de humor um tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de um lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui, no Pátria Amada Criminal.